It's your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC for 20 great years has the best OTR on our live streaming. And continue tuning in to the Radio Book Channel, along with the RTC Music Channel, all at oldtimeradiolisten.com.
Hello and welcome to the RTC Weekly Download. We have some nice programs for you to listen to today. It's all about adventure, and we have about 90 minutes worth of it. We're going to start off with Rocky Jordan. This is from May the 29th, 1949, Desert Betrayed.
Time now for Rocky Jordan. Not far from the Mosque Sultan Hassan in Cairo stands the Cafe Tambourine, run by Rocky Jordan. The Cafe Tambourine, crowded with forgotten men, alive with the babble of many languages. For this is Cairo, where modern adventure and intrigue unfold against a backdrop of antiquity. Tonight's story, Desert Betrayal.
There are five times in a day when a foreigner like myself tries to stay off the streets of Cairo. That's at dawn, noon, late afternoon, sunset, and just after dusk, when the muezzin appears in his minaret to call the faithful to prayer. At that moment, all activity stops, and the devout Muslim kneels on his rug facing Mecca. Keeping away from them at those times is one respect we can pay their religion, and they appreciate that respect. But I guess I wasn't watching the clock this particular evening. My Cafe Tambourine still held the intense heat of the day, so I got out and walked down the crowded Sharia Lagoon toward the Nile to try and catch a cool breeze. I just stopped to glance at a big poster, something about a rally for the politician El Marmad Bey, when I heard the voice of the muezzin in the minaret high above me. Suddenly all sounds of activity stopped as the natives faced east, their foreheads to the ground. As quick as I could, I ducked back through a narrow passage off the street that led to the winding stairs of the minaret. I waited there until sounds from the street told me prayers were over and the Cairenes were again about their business. Then I was about to be on my way when... The scream came from the minaret. As I turned and looked up, I saw the bearded muezzin in his flowing robes stagger out of the tower, pitch headlong down the winding stairway. He rolled over and over, and he didn't stop till he sprawled at the bottom, almost at my feet. It was like something out of a bad opera, and for a split second I couldn't move. But the red splotches from stab wounds spreading across his white robe snapped me out of it, and I rushed over to him. All right, easy there. Try not to move. Who did this? You've got to tell me. Listen, who did it? I guess he figured he was done for, and there was a look almost of ecstasy on his kindly face. But I didn't want to give up that easy. I made a move to try and stop the bleeding when I heard heavy footsteps coming down the stairway. It was another figure in the robes of a muezzin, only he had a black field boots on. Come on, hurry up, will you? Help me with this man.
Shut up and get back.
We gotta work fast, he's sure of that.
I said and move.
I'm not
Must
going anywhere.
I tell you again.
Since when does a muezzin carry a Luger?
Don't touch him. You've stepped in where it doesn't concern you.
Yeah, maybe it's lucky I did.
Think again, my friend. It's your misfortune.
I felt the blow of his heavy Luger across my face, and that was all. Only a roaring like a comm scene on the desert, and me spinning with the wind, till it seemed to pitch me back down to the foot of the minaret. The pain in my head drove me to my senses, and when I opened my eyes, it was pitch dark. The dead body of the kindly muezzin lay beside me. Just as I realized I was clutching something tightly in my hand, a flashlight stabbed right in my eye.
So, it is you, Mr. Jordan. Get up at once.
Well, good hunting, Greco. Who called you?
There was no police call. Ali!
Alva, Sergeant Greco.
Take the knife from this man.
Knife?
The one in your hand, Mr. Jordan. You need not feign surprise. You do not deceive me.
Getting ideas already, Greco?
Hand over the knife.
I'll take it. I don't use knives.
Indeed. However, it was in your hand, stained with the blood of the sacred muezzin lying dead by your side.
Look, don't you know a plant when you see one?
Enough! This time you have overstepped yourself, Mr. Jordan.
Okay, arrest me. Get it over with.
Perhaps that will not be necessary. I need only to call the people in from the street to witness this thing.
What are you getting at?
When the news spreads that their revered religious leader has met violent death by the hands of an unbeliever, you will be disposed of very quickly.
You'd like that, wouldn't you?
I would be helpless against the mob. You see, Mr. Jordan?
Better get some sense now, Greco. If the Muezzin's death gets out, there'll be a lot of repercussions. You think Sabaya'd put another stripe on your sleeve if that happened?
My personal ambitions have nothing to do with this.
Think it over.
Mr. Jordan, you will understand that I had no intention of disclosing this to anyone as yet.
Sure, Greco, sure.
Ellie, bring another man. You will take the Muezzin to the minaret and hide his remains there.
It will be done.
One moment. Under no circumstances will you breathe a word of this to anyone. Is that clear?
It is, Sergeant Greco.
Quickly now. And you, Mr. Jordan, will come with me.
Greco waited only long enough to watch his aides lift the Muezzin and carry him carefully up the steep winding steps to the tower. As they disappeared into the dark, he gave me a shove and I walked ahead out into the street. Neither of us spoke a word on our ride to headquarters. I was taken to Sabaya's office and a couple of guards held me there for maybe half an hour till Sam made his appearance. Greco was with him and they motioned the guards outside. It was all just a little too deliberate. Greco been telling you things, Sam?
Keep silent until spoken to, Mr. Jordan.
Then let's get at it.
Jordan, I have Greco's statement. You were found at the foot of the Mongar Minaret beside the dead body of the Muezzin.
Did he tell you I'd been knocked out cold, Sam?
A trick, Captain. He was trapped and could do nothing but pretend that he also had been attacked.
Then explain the shape my face is in, Greco.
Your face gets smashed up in many ways,
One moment,
Mr. Jordan.
Greco. Now, Jordan, I will hear your full explanation of this affair.
I was standing at the foot of the tower stairs during the last call to prayer.
Did you, an American, not know better than to be there at such a time?
I ducked in there to get off the street.
Go on.
And the Muezzin rolled down the steps right at my feet. Before I could get anything out of him, somebody else in a Muezzin's robe showed up.
There is no other Muezzin at the minaret.
You're right, Greco. He wasn't a Muezzin. He wasn't an Egyptian. He had on German field boots and he carried a Luger.
Jordan, what fantastic tale are you trying to make me
listen
believe?
Listen to me, Sam. The guy roughed me up against the wall and then slapped his gun across my face.
He's lying, Captain. Ask Mr. Jordan how he got this knife in his hand. You can see for yourself.
Put the knife on the desk, Greco. I do not wish to look at it again.
As you wish. The Muezzin had been stabbed 4 times. I thought it best, under the circumstances, to have his body hidden in the minaret.
Yes. You acted most wisely, Greco.
I was only doing my duty, Captain Sabaya.
Jordan, about this man with the Luger. Would you recognize him if you saw him again?
You bet I would.
You have told me everything?
That's right.
And you can explain nothing of the other similar acts of violence against our holy men here in Cairo?
Well, there have been others.
This is the third Muezzin to die in the past month, all by the knife.
But why, Sam? What's it all about?
I do not know, but I intend to find out. Jordan, there are things a man like you would not understand. That my people take their religion most seriously. Quite often, our emotions become strongly involved.
Well, maybe I do understand, Sam. Every man has a religion, whether he knows it or not.
But there are differences.
Sure. I've knocked around enough to learn to respect another man's beliefs. That's why I get off the street.
We will not go over that again.
Okay, but you can't hold me, Sam.
Indeed I can, Jordan. You will be committed to jail pending further investigation.
So that's the way it is.
That will be all. Greco, I must hurry to the El Mahmoud Bey political rally. We have promised him police protection. Put Jordan in a cell.
This way, Mr. Jordan.
Oh, Greco, you had best place him in the old cell block across the alley and under heavy guard.
I know better than to try and figure out what goes on in Sabaya's mind, but I had a hunch he was locking me up more than anything for my own protection. And the old cell block would be the last place a mob would try and hunt me out. Greco made a big thing of it as he and two others directed me down a corridor to the back door. A dim bulb over the entrance was all that lit the alley. Greco motioned across to a dingy sandstone building about 30 feet on down, and I moved ahead. I had taken not more than a dozen steps when it began to happen. A whole bunch of them came out of nowhere, everyone hooded, surrounded Greco and his guards. I made quick
stop,
work of it.
Stop it at once! I come back!
One of the hooded men was out of the scuffle and had me by the arm.
Get moving, Jordan.
What is this?
We call it a rescue.
Maybe I don't want it.
Shut up, you fool. Now move!
By that time, they were all around me, dragging me up the alley. Somewhere back, I could hear an alarm sounding and the shouts of more men running out of headquarters. But already, we had reached a side street where a light field truck was waiting, its motor running. The hooded figures piled me in. The driver put it in gear, wheels spun, and we were careening off down the narrow, winding streets. Now, we must have traveled every side street in Cairo to shake the police. Finally, the truck roared across the Bulak Bridge of the Nile, through Giza, on west and north above the Nile Valley as it meets the desert. As the truck picked up speed, the men relaxed their grip on me, peering ahead to the onrushing road, so I had a chance to look them over. Well, the top man had called it to a rescue, but I knew better. Every one of them was wearing German field boots and carrying a Luger. A jump was a risk, but I knew there was nothing alongside but soft sand and was the only way. I waited till we hit a sharp, bumpy curve, and I was off and rolling. The fourth time over, I was on my feet, clawing my way through the brush. Then they opened up. I dived for a ditch with the wind knocked out of me, and I stayed there, with my face in the sand, waiting for them to flush me out, knowing exactly what would happen when they did.
You are listening to Desert Betrayal, tonight's adventure with Rocky Jordan. Travel to the ends of the earth tomorrow night with Dick Powell and Sidney Hasso, who will recreate their original screen roles on CBS Radio Theater. To the Ends of the Earth is the story of the expose of an international narcotics ring, and makes for an exciting story. Remember Dick Powell and Sidney Hasso tomorrow, Monday night, at 6. Now we return you to Cairo and tonight's adventure with Rocky Jordan, Desert Betrayal.
It was a peaceful evening as I stood at the foot of the minaret and listened to the muezzin's call to prayer. But all that was changed a few seconds later when the muezzin lay dying at my feet. A man wearing German field boots and a gun to match planted the killing on me. Not long after, as I was being taken to a jail cell, the same man with a lot of helpers broke it up, dumped me in a truck, and roared out into the desert. I remember jumping from the speeding truck, some gunshots, and not much more, till a breath of air hit me. And it wasn't air off the desert. It smelled of cheap gin, like my cafe tambourine after a hard night. It came from somebody bending over me.
Get up, monsieur, before they find you.
Where are they?
Searching the brush on the other side of the sand dune. Up with you now.
Yeah. Where are we going?
To my hut, only a little way. Allez, monsieur, allez!
Somehow she got me to her hut and dropped me on a cot. The dive off the truck must have jolted me plenty because right then I passed out for a while. Well, the next thing I knew, it was daylight and I was wide awake and choking for breath. She was sharing her cheap gin with me.
The gin, it helps, n'est-ce pas?
Oh, they sell stuff that bad?
Oh, so it is champagne you wish.
Well, I'm sorry. I woke up too quick.
Oh, it is nothing.
Anyhow, you took a lot of chances, sister.
I am Suzette. Perhaps another drink now?
No, thanks.
As you wish.
Any of those guys come around?
No, monsieur. They went away.
Looks like you got a good hideout here.
Oh, well, we all hide from something, n'est-ce pas?
Yeah, me from too many things.
You do not tell me who you are, monsieur.
The name's Jordan.
And an American who flees from many men with guns on the desert.
Oh, I hopped off a truck. They were taking me someplace.
But why?
Your guess is as good as mine.
Many trucks have been going into the desert.
Yeah? Where to, Suzette?
I do not know. But something is going on out there. You were captured, monsieur?
Oh, rescued, they called it.
You make a strange riddle.
Oh, yeah, it's a beauty. A muezzin is stabbed to death in Cairo. Not the first to be killed. But whoever did it figured I knew too much. Before the police could salt me away, this gang grabbed me.
Monsieur, what were they like?
Well, they weren't Muslims. They were men who speak good English and carry Lugas.
Oh, sacre nom.
You got it figured, Suzette?
Oh, always it is the same. So it was with the betrayal of France. Always I do not realize.
What are you talking about?
Monsieur, In France, they call me a traitor. It was not so. I did not know I was being used by the enemy.
It makes some sense, huh? Oh,
now I am a poor French woman in Egypt without credentials. I must exist as best I can. When there is an opportunity to sell munitions and guns into Egypt, what can I do?
The trucks are taking munitions into the desert?
Oui. But I did not know.
Who's the deal with, Suzette?
It is a bad deal.
Hey, come on, never mind the gin. Who'd you sell the stuff to?
There is a man named Frank Kruller.
Where do I find him?
A houseboat on the Nile. The Habia 16.
All right, let's have some more.
No, monsieur, already I have said too much. You rest now. You will need much strength for what is ahead.
So I waited out the burning heat of the day in her hut. All the time I tried to get more out of her about Kruller and the munitions going into the desert. How that tied in with the Moazin's death. But from then on, Suzette closed up tighter than the cap on a bottle of Coke. Well, with a little food and a lot of sleep, I was ready to go by sundown. Suzette helped me into Giza. From then on, I was on my own. I thumbed a ride across the bridge, but before I went down along the river, I decided on a phone call.
Captain Sabaya speaking.
Hello, Sam.
Jordan, so it is you.
I just didn't want you to worry about me.
Where are you? What are you doing?
Oh, relax. I'm all right, I tell you. You don't have to rescue me.
Rescue you, indeed. You will return to headquarters at once.
Sorry, I got a big date.
Where are you going?
To see a guy named Kruller.
Kruller?
Frank Kruller. Any objections, Sam?
Jordan, listen to me. There are things you do not understand.
Why not?
You are not a Muslim, but I am, and I can tell you that you are in great danger. For your own protection, come back to jail.
Thanks for the advice. See you later, Sam.
Jordan, for the last time...
Then I was on my way to see Kruller. I couldn't have missed his dahabia on the Nile if I'd tried. It was a floating palace, all lit up with music coming from someplace and real important-looking people going on board. With a day's growth of beard and so on, I wasn't exactly in shape for a party, but I went anyhow. Only a big pile of muscles at the entrance stood in my way.
Retrace your steps, offender.
Don't get upset, Buster. I didn't come to see you.
State your business here.
Maybe I got invited.
Only those of influence and wealth come here tonight.
Something real special, huh?
A reception in honor of the great El Marmad Bey.
I've known bigger politicians.
Yeah. Back to the streets with you, Inglis.
Not till I see Frank Kruller.
He's not here.
Well, let's look around.
Yeah, back now. Stop that car.
What is going on here?
Somebody was coming through the lighted doorway toward us. The one man I wanted to see more than anyone else. I'd last seen him under the minaret as he slapped a Luger in my face.
Who is this man?
He is no one. I tell him to go away.
I will handle him, Jaroub. So it is you, Jordan.
Yeah. I take it you're Kruller.
I am. You know, Jordan, you interest me.
I'll bet.
You made good your escape last night. Is it not foolhardy to walk back into another trap?
Not if it gets some answers.
It so happens that I would like to talk to you, too. Come this way.
No, let's talk here.
Sorry. I fear you have no choice.
A glance at the shadows told me there were others besides Jaroub covering for Kruller. So I followed along, with Jaroub close behind. We went down some steps away from the party going on above, through a narrow corridor to a door that Kruller opened. He motioned me in. I was face to face with a guest of honor. One Napoleon-sized, puffy, gimlet-eyed Egyptian politician sporting a monocle. El Marmad Bey.
Who is this man, Kruller?
The person who persists in making trouble for us, El Marmad Bey.
Jordan, of course. Excellent, excellent.
You the top man in this deal, Marmad Bey?
Perhaps more than you know. What audacious motive brings you here?
A lot of question marks about guns and munitions you got your hands on. Stuff that's being hatched out on the desert somewhere.
Most interesting. From whom did you learn this?
Oh, skip it, Mormon. I'm not on your side yet.
I had hardly hoped for that. What else you know, Jordan?
Just that you're playing for something pretty big. Killing Muslim leaders is dangerous business.
What are a few lives if they serve my purpose?
You tell me.
El Mahmoud Bey, your time is most valuable. The others are waiting.
As you say, Cruella, the hour grows short. Jordan, finding the source of your information and how much of it you have divulged to others is most important to my cause.
I'll bet it is.
We have ways of getting it from you.
With a Luger?
Wait, Cruella. Jordan, who else knows you have come on this Dahabia?
A lot of people.
It is possible. Let him go, Cruella. What happens to this man after he leaves here, you may decide.
Of course. Zarup, bring the others. Throw this man out.
At once, master. Aren't you up to it yourself, Cruella?
No, not that way, Zarup. Out the window. Perhaps, Jordan, the waters of the Nile will drive you to your senses before it's too late.
I got plenty of Nile water, all right, but I didn't head for the shore. I saw them moving along the bank waiting for me. Then a little boat took off downstream trying to pick me up. But they didn't know I was hanging onto the anchor chain. In a little while, I was pulling myself back into the little room. It was empty now. The noise of the party upstairs covered for me, and I started looking around. A couple of shoves, and I had the closet door open. What was inside didn't surprise me. A stack of small arms, Lugers, Mannlicher rifles, and cases of ammunition. Next, I tried the desk in the corner. The minute I cracked the top drawer, I had what I wanted. It was a list of various muezzins in Cairo. The top three names were scratched out, and I figured they were the ones who had already died. Maybe the rest were next. But it didn't say why. I folded the sheet and shoved it in my pocket. Suddenly, there was a soft step from behind. Before I could move, there was a silken cord around my neck, drawn tighter and tighter, and once more, thick blackness poured in. I was slow in coming out of it. First, I thought I was still lying at the minaret beside the dead muezzin. Then I was in a ditch with a gin-soaked woman bending over me. Finally, I opened my eyes. The light from a window almost blinded me. Outside, I could see other buildings, and I knew we were in some abandoned army camp. I tried to move, and I realized I was tied securely to a chair. The bare room held just me and Frank Crueler.
I salute you, Jordan. For a chance adversary, you have proved quite formidable.
Skip the build-up, Crueler. Where are we?
To the south is the Guattara Depression. It was used as an anchor in the battle for Egypt.
Only you're using the place for something else.
As a temporary hideout, it serves our purpose.
Any munitions dumped, too?
Spare your strength, Jordan. You'll need it.
Like for what?
El Mahmoud Bey, Mr. Jordan awaits you.
Well, Jordan...
For a man with big plans, Marmont, you'll give me lots of attention. Why?
Because I wish to know what people are in possession of certain information. Who are they?
I'll give you an answer. But to my question, not yours.
Because I soon will become master of Egypt.
Yeah.
It will be done.
El Mahmoud, is it wise?
Let him know. There are but three of us, Cruella. He has no means of escape but the eternal sand.
Thanks, my man. I know about the munitions and guns. Now, where's your army?
You Americans are indeed naive. Superior intelligence is more powerful than armies.
Your brains and who else?
At this moment, my loyal followers are at strategic points in Cairo and elsewhere in Egypt, awaiting the hour.
You think that's all it takes?
Clive took India with only 123 men, Mr. Jordan.
I had it right, didn't I? You start out killing a few muezzins, one by one. Nothing upsets a Muslim quicker than an offense toward his leaders.
And now more of the muezzins are to die. When the people see their government is unable to cope with the atrocities, they will rise up and overthrow it.
You got it all figured out, haven't you?
Already there have been incidents. Soon the anger of the populace will move it to frenzy. There will be uprisings growing in violence.
That's when you step in.
Yes. At that moment, the great El Mahmoud Bey will appear as their liberator.
Yeah. The only trouble is it won't work.
Indeed. Again, the mind of the West finds the mind of the East an insoluble riddle.
Well, don't get me wrong, Marmot. You might use the religion of your people to get into power. Only you've forgotten one thing.
Yes. What is that?
Your people will still have their religion.
How long do you think they'll be fooled? We Americans have a saying for that, if you're interested.
I am not. Your interest, Jordan, is in your own welfare.
Well, think about it. When the people find out they've been duped, what do you think happens to you?
At that time, my power over them will be assured. Egypt will enter an era greater than the pharaohs ever knew.
Hold it, Marmad. Back that idea up with some more figures. Give me one example of a tyranny founded on religious oppression that has ever lasted.
Mr. Jordan, the fact of the moment is that you will die. Tell us what we wish to know, and death will be swift and painless.
And if I don't?
Death in the desert is very slow. No man has ever withstood the heat or the sun in his eyes. Need I say more?
I get the general idea.
What is your answer, Jordan?
I told you. It won't work.
Mm-hmm. Very well. Gruller, take him outside.
I suggest that you turn your attention to me, El Marmad Bey.
At first, I didn't recognize him without his uniform. But it wasn't a mirage. It was Captain Sam Sabaya. Kruller grabbed his Luger from the table as Sam kept walking right on in.
How did you get here?
Is that important, Kruller?
Watch that Luger, Sam. I'm tied here. I can't help you.
That will not be necessary, George.
So, Captain Sabaya, the desert must claim another victim.
That we shall soon see, El Marmad Bey.
But you had no way of knowing.
Not everything, but certain things have come to my attention. When Jordan phoned me he was going to Kruller's Dahabiya, I followed along, and I've been following ever since.
You think your authority amounts to anything here?
My authority and my uniform remain in Cairo. I come here only as a Muslim, to right a grievous offense to my religion.
You come to this forsaken place alone, without even the proof?
You can find proof, Sam. Look in the other buildings. They're loaded with arms. Search Kruller's houseboat.
In good time, Jordan.
Enough of this. Kruller, dispose of this man at once.
A very great pleasure.
Kruller aimed, and then it happened quicker than I could follow. Sam's foot came up a second before the shot, and the gun clattered across the room. Kruller dived in. Sam crouched like a panther and then slammed Kruller over his head with the arms of El Marmad Bey, and they went down. I'd always thought Sam was pudgy and slow-moving, but he gave me the show of my life. He used every trick on those two guys that I'd ever known and a lot more. Second time Marmot came up, his stomach got mixed up with the left. He was finished. But Kruller tried for more. All the time, I couldn't move. Kruller went to work with his heavy boots, and that's where he made another big mistake. Sam flipped him into a corner, where he piled up like a stack of ten pins. Then suddenly, it was all over. Hey, I could book you for a main event, Sam.
Jordan, you will make no joke about this. Such tactics are most distasteful to me.
Okay. How about getting me loose here, huh?
Well, you will tell no one of this incident.
Sure, just untie me.
You know, Jordan, there are many things that you do not comprehend.
Sam, get me out of here. Well, Sam finally untied me. We got El Marmot Bay and Kruller back into Cairo, and from then on, Sam was his old official self. It didn't take him long to round up all the Bey's loyal followers. And I don't have to tell you what happened to them after that. I was going to send Suzette a case of good gin, but she'd done a fade-out. And nobody tried very hard to find her. Me? Oh, I've learned a few things. Sam Sabaya has given me jiu-jitsu lessons.
It's CBS, again at this same time, next week, for another story of adventure and intrigue, when we take you back to Cairo and the Café Tambourine, run by Rocky Jordan. Jack Moyles plays the title role, with tonight's script by Larry Roman and Gomer Kuhl, from a story by E. Jack Newman. Rocky Jordan is produced and directed by Cliff Howell, with original music by Richard Arant. Larry Thor speaking. This is CBS. the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Desert Betrayal, an episode of Rocky Jordan from 1949, has the feel of the movie Casablanca. Well, I want to remind you all that we do have a radio stream that you can listen to anytime you want to at oldtimeradiolisten.com. You can also find it at alltimeoldies.com, and it's called the Radio Theater Channel. There's a full schedule posted, so do get in on that. Otherwise, you're missing some real good radio. Our adventure podcast continues now with Bold Venture, starring Humphrey Bogart. This is called Jenny Ward State's Old Flame.
Bold Venture. Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance, starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. Together in the sultry setting of tropical Havana and the mysterious islands of the Caribbean, Bold Venture. Once again, the magic names of Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall bring you Bold Venture and a tale of mystery and intrigue.
I don't say anything funny.
Well, because you weren't there when it happened, Sailor.
But I was, darling.
You sure were, Jenny. Will I ever forget that Mardi Gras with you and Rio? And how about that time in Acapulco spearfishing by torchlight? The fun we had in the snow in the Swiss Alps.
You pull sleds too, Jenny?
Why don't you go warm yourself a saucer of milk? What's the matter with you, Sailor? Jenny's an old crony.
Crony? Now there's a word. How do you spell it? C-R-O-N-E?
Look, Sailor, Jenny and I want to talk about old times. You'd be bored. Nothing would interest you. You know how it is. So why don't you... Well... Why don't you, Sailor?
All right, I will. Bye, fellas. Both of you.
Hi, Jenny.
Slate, darling. How's Slate?
I think about you sometimes. You happy?
Here, now. With you, looking at you, watching you. Saying Slate, and knowing you'll answer and not an echo. But the other times, most of the times, no, I haven't been happy, darling.
It was a Sunday there when I picked up the papers and saw you in a wedding dress beside a man in striped pants. I don't remember the whole week after that.
He's here in Havana. I'm going to leave him, Slate.
So many things we could have done.
Did you hear me? I'm frightened of him. Afraid he might kill me, Slate. He's that kind of a man. I'm going to leave him.
Then what, Jenny?
I'll come back to you. You want that, don't you? You're Slate Shannon, remember? And I'm Jenny. And they were the old times. I'll come back to you, Slate. You can pack all my things, Paul. Let them run through your fingers. It'll be something to remember me by.
Look, Jenny. Anything you want, any price, I can do things for you no other man can do.
Good. Sit on the suitcase for me, will you, darling? You're so strong. I never can close these things.
Of course. See, Jenny, just with my hands.
Oh, your powerful hands. I could almost regret leaving them. I brought you something, darling, my going-away present to you.
Don't play with me.
It's
don't.
It's a sign, Paul. Sign that says vacant. You can hang it on my door.
Jenny! Come back, whatever you need, whatever you want.
Beg, darling. Get down on your knees and beg. What do you know? He's doing it.
Help you with your bag, lady?
Good evening, Bart. Kiss me, Bart.
Sure, lady. How did it go?
You should have seen him, Bart, on his knees.
Why not? Everybody kneels before he dies. Doesn't everybody?
We'll ask Shannon how my husband died when he kills him for me.
And Shannon will do that for you, lady?
Anything I want. He owes me for the fun times we had together. Slade!
Hello, Slade.
Hi, sailor.
This where you've been all this time? Standing out here on the beach, staring at the moon and kicking sand.
What do you want?
You, mostly. You want me to go away?
No. I've got no right to tell you what to do.
You had, up until this afternoon. Until Ginny. You in love with her?
Once.
Why?
I've been thinking about it, about Ginny. Why? I can't figure it. I don't know if I want to.
I want to tell you something, big man. Get her out of the hotel.
You crazy?
Get her out, Slate.
What's the matter with you? Jenny's a guest. She rented a suite. She's got as much right to move into Shannon's place as anybody.
As much right as me?
You or anybody.
I've just coined a cliche, friend of mine. She goes or I go.
You giving me your notice, sailor? All right.
Kidding, aren't you?
So long, sailor.
Do you know what you just did?
Yeah, I said so long.
You told me to get out of your life.
That's the way you heard it. That's the way it was.
Just like that. No toast, one to the other. No big speeches, how grand it was. Nothing.
Yeah. That was all of it.
Goodbye, Slate.
Ay, Senorita Duval, the honor you do my decrepit little theatrical agency. I cannot stand it.
Here's a hanky. Blow my 10% of your nose.
Gracias.
Revive yourself. I can do other tricks, too. I sing in the shower.
You got something there. But we knock out the shower. Too corny. I see it. I see it. You in a swimsuit.
Mm, in a white dress. You got a job for me, Akila?
Off the shoulder?
It buttons at the throat.
Off the shoulder, get you raves from the music critics.
Off the dime, Akila. Is there a job for me?
You open tonight at the Club Flamingo. Slate Shannon will be your call boy?
Who's Slate Shannon?
That is how I like to hear a girl female performer talk. Especially when...
Watch it, kid. I got a trick you don't know about. I call it a right cross.
We will have such a lovely 10% together.
Keep the hanky, agent. It's a down payment on what I'll owe you. Thank you. As the final number included in your cover charge... Here's a song to remember when someone starts crying on your shoulder. When you get to feeling mean and low, and your world has lost that golden glow, keep your troubles to yourself, put your worries on the shelf. Don't sing those sad songs to me. When the blues start knocking at your door, and you know you can't take any more, please don't call me on the phone. I've got problems of my own. Don't sing those sad songs to me. Now you know the type. People who gripe, begging for sympathy. When they come my way, I just stop and say, forget it, kid. You won't get any help from me. So avoid me when you can't be gay. If you meet me, turn and walk away. Though I usually am mild, I can't stand a problem child. So don't sing those sad songs to me.
Mia alma, Senorita Duval, you were magnifico, splendid, so tip-top. Por favor, go take another bow. For me, the best agent a senorita ever had.
Did you see them out there?
The customers? Hair is on the floor from the tearing out of heads. Such a reception.
I'm talking about Slate Shannon and that girl with him. The way they were looking at each other.
Oh, disagreement numero one, you and me. Mr. Shannon, look at you all the time. In fact, Senorita, he has sent back a note. Here.
Tear it up.
Senorita?
Tear it up.
The note says he will come back to your room dressing a while after you have sunk. It says he has been looking for you.
Tell him to go kiss a light socket. I don't want to see him.
Ay, how like my wife numero two she is. How just like...
Where is she, Chico?
In there. But you cannot see her.
One side.
To say one side to Aquila is to court jabs in the nose, senor. You will see.
Show me.
See it. Jabs in the nose.
Did you get my note, sailor?
What do you want here?
I don't know. Maybe I made a mistake. Ginny and me.
Well?
Something's missing. Help me out, sailor. I'm trying to tell you something.
Get out of here.
Why don't you just listen to me?
You listen. I want you out of here.
Sailor. All right.
Is that you, Slate?
Yeah. I want to talk to you, Jenny.
Come in, Slate Shannon. You're wearing a look I remember. The one you had when you left me in Rome.
You remember it, huh?
Pasted in my scrapbook of losses. So I'd know the reason for the nights without sleep.
Look, Jenny, I want you to go away.
You're making small talk.
So I can get my bearings, so I can pick out what's a memory and what's for real.
The Duval thing or me, huh?
I want it to be straight and clean.
Slate Shannon. This is the what that's for real. This... and this.
Don't look now, Jenny, but someone's peeking over our shoulders.
My husband. The husband that would rather have me dead than lose me. Isn't that right, husband mine?
Get your things, Jenny. You're coming back to me.
You spoiled it, Paul. Like you spoiled everything else you could have had with me. Throw him out, Slate. He brings a chill into my room.
Get your things, Jenny. Or do you want me to beat you until you beg to come back, till you want it?
Slate. Slate, he means it. He'll kill me.
Relax, Jenny. You heard the lady, Mr. Ward. Right now, she doesn't care for you. You leave her cold.
It's you she wanted. I can deal with a man like you.
You spoil the natty crease in your flannels, Mr. Ward.
I can deal.
You don't care about the crease, huh? Maybe I can give you a new one.
You took it.
You're a good kid. Real.
He'll kill you, Slate. He'll kill you.
Hey, good at that. He's an ox.
This bookend, Slate. Hit him with it. He'll kill you. He's going for a gun.
I don't...
Take it. He'll shoot you.
Yeah. Your husband was good. Real good.
Not anymore, Slate. I think you've killed him.
What are you talking about?
You've killed him. Stay, Slate. Don't run. I'll tell them it was for me. I'll tell them that...
I wish I could be there to hear you, Jenny. I wish a lot of things.
Don't run, Slate. Stay with me.
Put it in that scrapbook of yours. Now we both won't sleep.
Our stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, and the second act of our story.
Shannon's place is desolation. No lady, sailor, Mr. Slate on the run, because an old flame come and wink she eye. She husband sleeps and will maybe die. The place is empty, the place is...
Watch your language, King. I'm back.
Lady Sailor!
Hi. Miss me?
There is only bitterness when you are gone.
Yeah, when I'm here, too. It's pretty bitter what happened to Slate, isn't it?
Mr. Slate would not want to kill a man. I do not believe it, Lady Sailor. I do not believe what the papers say.
That Paul Ward is lying on a hospital cot, and it's a flip of a peso whether he lives or dies. You don't believe that?
Please, Lady Sailor.
And that the police are looking for Slate. Charge, attempted murder. Motive, a husband who wants his wife back. That you don't believe either, huh, King?
Nor you, because you came back to Mr. Slate.
Yeah, I came back.
And you will help him?
Long enough to kiss the boy goodbye and give him back to Ginny. Where do you think he's hiding, King?
This I do not know. But perhaps Mrs. Jenny Ward...
Yeah. Slate likes to share secrets with her. Memories, dying husbands. She still here at the hotel?
No, she at 56 Paseo Batista. I overheard when I carry she bags to the cab.
Well, you come too, King. I'll need you to lace my gloves.
Ahoy!
Ahoy! Is that you, Bianco?
Slate? Is that you, Slate?
Yeah. I'll throw you a line. I'm going to tie up my boat here. Got it?
I got it. All secure, Slate.
How you been, Bianco?
Me? Great. What are you doing here, kid? This key's off the beaten path. You think I'm going shrimp fishing or something?
No. You mind if I stay at your shack for a while?
I guess.
Let's go. Just throw me a couple of palm fronds in the corner. I need sleep.
Yes, you do. You need a lot of things, kid. Come on in. I turn off the radio, Shannon.
No, leave it on.
Why waste the battery? I can tell you by heart what it's going to say.
That's how you amuse yourself. You memorize commercials.
This one's got a price of $10,000. Offered by Mrs. Ginny Ward for the capture, dead or alive, of Slate Shannon. Radio's been spilling like that all day, Slate. You're a fugitive, huh?
You heard it.
$10,000. My, my. Dead or alive, too, the man said.
How do you figure it, Bianco? First she said... Ah, what difference does it make?
You said you were sleepy. Lie down. Go ahead. Use my cot. Get some sleep, kid. I wake you come morning.
Nothing doing. You might take a fancy to that $10,000.
Ah, why, Slate. How you talk. I sleep outside, Slate.
Uh-uh. Get out the cards, Bianco. This is going to be an all-night fan-tan session.
Bart. Come here, Bart.
Something on your mind, Ginny?
Come here and tell me what a clever girl am I.
You're a clever girl, Ginny. Offering that $10,000 reward was a stroke of pure clever. And with the cops, you were a love, too. How vivid it was how Shannon broke into your room, you in your husband's arms, and Shannon strikes him a foul blow. It made you cry, didn't it, Jimmy?
Tears chasing tears. Be a lamb, Bart, see who it is.
Lamb? I'll remember you once called me that. Now look, it's a dream.
Where's Jenny Ward?
Ask her yourself, dream.
I bet I know what you want, darling.
Where is he? Where's Slate?
He's not here, darling. You can frisk me.
He needs help. He almost killed for you.
I'm taking bets that he made it. The killing, I mean. Paul doesn't die today. It'll be tomorrow. One lovely day.
Look, you.
Don't try violence, darling. Bart here doesn't like me with scratch marks on my face. It makes him brutal.
Slade was in love with you. He would have told you where he was going.
I tried, darling. I asked where. But his mouth tightened up on me. You know, the cute way it does.
We've got to help him. Find him.
I'm doing all I can. I offer $10,000 for him, dead or alive.
What?
$10,000.
You wanted him to kill your husband.
You have naughty thoughts, child. Escort the naughty girl out, Bart.
The door you came through, Mr. Vall, it'll be the same one on the way out.
When you die, Ginny, let me know. I want to go dancing.
Well said, Dream. Out, Dream.
She told you where our Mr. Slade is, Lady Sailor?
No, but while I was walking down that dark hall, something came to me, King. Remember how when Slate wants to check the world, he goes to a fisherman named Bianco?
On Frenchman's Key?
Uh-huh. Let's rent a boat, King.
I think that will be difficult. That plainclothes policeman hiding under a propeller beanie across the street might not let us.
Run, King. That way. I'll run the other. Let's make it lively for Beanie Boy.
Want a small coffee, Slate?
Deal the cards.
Just ask, that's all. Me, I like mine hard.
Deal them.
They've been doing this for 6 hours now. Let's change the game at least. I got Fantan up to my nose.
Fantan, deal. Yeah, I heard the boat too, Bianco.
Someone's coming down the pier, Slate. Cops?
No, just one cop wouldn't come. That'd be a mob. And don't try it, Bianco.
What are you talking about?
You've been eyeing that table drawer ever since I walked into this shack. You make a move for a gun, I'll beat your brains in.
You raving like a loony slave.
Go ahead, answer it.
Is Slate Shannon? Oh, Slate, are you all right?
All this time I've been saying to myself, if Sailor were here, we'd figure out something together.
My, my. Shack of mine never had a woman before. My pleasure, lady.
What happened, Slate? Why did you do it?
He pulled a gun on me. Jenny shoved a bookend in my hand.
Wait a minute. He didn't have a gun, Slate.
Sure he did. He was going for it when I hit him.
Did you see it?
No, I didn't.
The papers say unprovoked attack. Poor Ward was unarmed. Ward said so himself.
Ward said so? I thought I killed him.
No, he's still alive. He regained consciousness for a few minutes, but only for a few. They don't know whether he's going to live or die. Maybe you ought to give yourself up.
Hey, wait a minute. Bianco told me he heard over the radio that Paul Ward was dead, didn't you, Bianco?
You shouldn't have turned your back on me, Slate. The gun happened to my hand while you did. So now... Hey, stupid!
This will be real cool. Let's go, Sailor. Let's wrap this thing up. You wait out here, Sailor.
Let me go in with you. I want to watch.
Yeah, I guess you do. Okay, come on in, Sailor.
Yes? Oh, I brought you something, Ginny.
Let's go inside, Ginny. Yeah. This is home here.
Bart.
What's the matter? What? Oh. You'd be the boy the police are looking for. You'd be Slate Shannon.
I'd be a corpse if you had your way.
Now, take it easy.
Sailor told me about you, Buster. You're a bard, a friend of Ginny's. I've been wanting to meet you. Come here.
You want
to
play, huh? All right. You'll be messed up for the cops.
You'll tell them all about it.
Yeah.
About you. About Ginny. About Paul.
Slate, take this. Kill him.
Uh-huh. He's got to talk to the cops, remember? There's your boy, Jenny.
I should have killed him. Then it would have been... Slade, don't look at me like that.
How am I looking at you?
With hate. This is Jenny. The whole thing was a mistake. They called me from the hospital. Paul's going to live. I'll go back to him. He won't press charges.
Will he be told exactly what happened? How you... And that lying on the floor planned it all.
Police department? Give me Inspector LaSalle.
Don't let her call the police. Make her stop.
LaSalle, old boy?
Make her stop.
Guess what I've got for you. An old dead flame.
I'm sorry, Jenny. I really am. It's going to be a lousy memory. Sailor.
Mm-hmm.
What's that you're singing?
You've heard it before. It's a song I had to learn when I was away from you.
Oh, that one.
That one. When the blues start knocking at your door, and you know you can't take any more, please don't call me on the phone. I've got problems of my own. Don't sing those sad songs to me.
Come here.
Why'd you do that for?
I've never been kissed in the key of D flat before.
Fine, isn't it? Stick with me, kid. You're liable to find a lost chord.
And so our two stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, have brought to a close our latest bold venture story. Special music was composed and conducted by David Rose. May we invite you to listen again next week at this time for another exciting adventure starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall together in Bold Venture.
Now comes the last of our 30-minute programs for this week, and it is a fun one. We're going to travel with the Green Hornet and invasion plans for World War II. This is from 1942.
The Green Hornet. He hunts the biggest of all game, public enemies who try to destroy our America. In the interest of our government, the King Trendle Broadcasting Corporation asks you to accept Uncle Sam as the sponsor of the Green Hornet program. Young men and young women, boys and girls, you can help win this war. Millions of you are leaving school in the next few weeks. Do you know what you can do to help? Ask your local United States Employment Office. That office can tell you where you can join the army of workers, where you can help produce materials of war, where you can help produce food for our fighting forces, our allies and ourselves on a farm or ranch, where you can get free training that will fit you for a war job. Register for service to your country now at any United States Employment Office. With his faithful valet Cato, Britt Reed, daring young publisher, matches wits with racketeers and saboteurs, risking his life that criminals and enemy spies will feel the weight of the law by the sting of the Green Hornet. Ride with Britt Reed in the thrilling adventure, Invasion Plans for Victory. The Green Hornet strikes again.
Mr. Britt Reed's apartment.
A phone call. A simple thing like a phone call started Britt Reed on an adventure that was to bring him face to face with sudden death and cause new cries of "Get the Green Hornet" to blaze across front pages.
For you, Mr. Britt.
Well, thanks, kiddo. Hello.
Axford lounged in the living room as Cato entered.
I heard the phone ringing, Cato. Was it for me?
For Mr. Britt. I take evening paper, please.
Ah, but hold on. Got to read the latest news and find out who I should be mad at.
Mr. Britt want paper in bedroom. I'll borrow, please?
Oh, all right. Then if Reed wants it. I don't know why it is. With Reed, the owner of the Sentinel, we don't get but one copy of it here at the apartment.
I'll check on it and see you as soon as I can get there. Goodbye.
Here's newspaper.
Thank you. Classified. What's Axford doing?
He was reading paper.
Well, here we are. Personal column. That's a funny thing, Cato, how people can conceal things by printing them for everyone to see.
Yes, sir?
Well, here's the ad I'm looking for. Johann Kinder. Very important that you call on Mother tonight.
Oh, is there a special meaning in small ad?
Yes. Cato, you've heard me speak of Jack Mercer.
Oh, yes, many times. You friend in college.
Well, Jack Mercer's been flying planes. It was he who just telephoned. He wants me to go to his home in the suburbs right away. He spoke of this ad.
I drive car for you?
Yes, but not the Black Beauty. I'll take the convertible. Like the way Jack spoke, he sounded worried, and he's not the worrying type.
What'd he say about ad?
Well, he couldn't talk over the phone as much as he wanted to. He just told me to look up the ad and translate Kinder. Then he said he thinks that Mother means himself. I don't like the way he said it.
Get that ad, Brett. Translate Kinder. Mother means me.
Get the car, Cato. I'll tell you more about Jack Mercer and his work while we're on our way to his home.
Very well.
While you're getting the car, I'll find a way to get Axford out of the apartment so he won't be too curious.
Okay, Reed. I'd hang around the cop's headquarters just in case there's a new development on that case me and Lower you were handling.
Well, thanks, Axford. I'll be more at ease with you on the job.
Good night, Reed.
Good night. Jack said it.
Get that ad, Brett. Translate Kinder. Mother means me.
Cars, Biddy.
Oh. All right, kiddo. Cato.
Yes, sir?
I think Kinder is the German word for child.
Yes, Mr. Britt.
Johann Kinder. Well, that would mean John Child. Possibly Childs. John Childs. There's something familiar about that name.
I never heard it.
We'll soon be at Jack Mercer's home. I didn't even know he'd reopened it. He sent his family to Florida when he left a few months ago on a secret flight to an undisclosed place.
You were to tell something about him.
Oh, yes. Well, he was working on a report for the government. Few people knew it, but the fact that I knew it makes it possible that enemies also knew what he was doing.
So that is true.
He knows that someone's watching his house. He thinks it's a man called Johann Kinder. Now, there was an ad address to Johann Kinder in tonight's paper.
I see.
Well, Jack is under the impression that Kinder was formerly a crook, went under another name. He thinks Kinder took the German translation of his name, and he asked me to find out what I could. In the meantime, he asked me to go to his home.
Oh?
You see, Cato, Jack made some aerial photographs of enemy country that he was familiar with. He's marking the photographs to point out places where our big bombing planes can land when the invasion begins.
Oh?
He asked to deliver those pictures tonight. And he wants me to go with him, just in case this fellow Kinder wants to get rough. He thought there was more than coincidence in the ad and the scent. Okay, to turn in the next drive to the right. Stop here. I don't know why I'm out here now. Cato, you come to the door with me. be done over again. I want you to stand right by the door until Mercer's in the car with me. And I'll keep watch till you join us.
Yes, Mr. Britt. Did you ring bell?
No, I thought he'd be waiting. The door's unlocked. Well, you wait here. I'll go in and get him. The door behind you.
Yes, Mr. Britt.
Dead.
Oh, it looked like suicide.
It's been made to look like suicide. There's a note and a gun. But Jack Mercer wouldn't shoot himself.
No, sir.
And where's the info? He told me he'd have it all addressed and ready to mail. It should be right here in his desk.
It is not.
No. Good old Jack Mercer. Suspected this. He tried to tell me something.
Police will call it suicide. Case closed.
No, they won't. This is going to be a case that the police will investigate with every means at their disposal. Thank goodness for the hunch that made me bring the Green Hornet's equipment. Cato, take that suicide note.
Yes, sir.
Leave the gun, but move it a few yards away from him.
Very well.
I'll leave the emblem of the Green Hornet here on the desk. I'll guarantee that'll make the police use a fine-tooth comb in hunting for clues.
Mr. Britt, car stopping in front.
Car?
Men are coming from it. They are police.
Police? Cato, we've got to get away from here. I can't be detained for questioning now. I've got to find out who put that personal in the Sentinel.
Police have not yet seen car and driveway.
Come on, in the side window. The car. Get in, I'll drive.
Hey there, wait!
Hang on. We're going straight through that fence in the rear.
Up the little door!
Can you shoot him?
Why, we're too fast. I didn't think he'd get away like that.
Hey, Flynn, Doyle. Yeah. Find out more about the guy across the street and report a shot being fired.
What's inside the house?
It's homicide. And the guy that did it is the Green Hornet.
Hello, Sentinel. Give me the desk.
Hello, hello. Give me a rewrite. Jack Mercer's been killed by the Green Hornet.
Mercer shot by Green Hornet.
Hornet strikes again.
Green Hornet eludes police.
Speed King of Air, latest victim of the Green Hornet.
Get the Green Hornet.
Hornet strikes again.
Get the Green Hornet.
Dead or alive, get the Green Hornet.
Get the Green Hornet, dead or alive, get the Green Hornet.
Morning, Reed.
Oh, hello, Axford.
I got Abe and talking to the boys at headquarters. They were all wondering about why I asked so many questions.
Well, it took you long enough. It's nearly 11 a.m.
But you said to find out all I could about Jack Childs.
Well, what did you learn?
The cops don't know where he is. The last they heard, he's gone out of the city.
Oh.
Did you look in the files, the morgue?
Yes, Axford, but there's not much there. He seems to have been generally known as a hoodlum, but he was never convicted of anything.
I know he wasn't. No, Reed, can
I... He was indicted several times, a couple of times on homicide charges, but never convicted.
Why do you want to know about him?
I just wondered about him, that's all.
No, Reed, could
Has Gail returned to the office?
Nope, not that I know of. Reed, if it's all right with you, I'd like to go after the Green Hornet.
It might not be a bad idea.
Yeah. I know how hard you were hit by the murder of Jack Mercer. He was a pal of yours in school, wasn't he?
How'd you know?
Cato was telling me, and so was Casey. By golly, that's an awful thing. I wonder why he'd be bumped off like he was.
Well, there are quite a few people that want to know that.
To think of him getting tangled with the Green Hornet. Suffering snakes. Oh, if only I could get me hands on the Hornet. That's all I want. Just to get me hands on him once.
Yes? Oh, send her in. Well, that'll be all for now, Axman.
Okay. Then I'll go and see if I can get some new leads on the Hornet.
Mr. Reed, do you think it's fair to send me chasing wild geese?
Oh, good morning, Gail.
Hello, Michael.
See you later, Axford.
Oh, but I'm not in a hurry about starting. I could wait around for a while if you think you'd be needing me.
I won't.
Well, all right, then. If only I was 20 years younger, Suffren Snake.
Now, Gail, what's this about wild geese?
It's not fair. You just won't take me seriously. And I do so want to make good.
Oh, wait a minute. What do you mean?
Well, you told me to find out who placed this personal in the Sentinel yesterday.
Well?
Sent poor little me traipsing away out in the sticks to call on Pemberton Q. Graves.
Well, our records indicated that a man named Smith paid for that ad.
Smith? Mr. Smith is Pemberton Graves. And it took more than a little work to find out that much.
Well, who was Pemberton Graves?
Oh, a writer of trash, tripe, and spinach.
I beg your pardon?
He writes under half a dozen names for the detective magazines, and his own name for Slicks. Oh, he's done no end of stories about conditions in Europe. He came from there a couple of years ago.
I see. Has he any relatives in Europe now?
Oh, I couldn't find out everything about him and get back here by noon, like you said.
But you are sure that he's the man who placed that ad?
Well, he didn't say so.
Oh.
Fact is, he laughed at me and asked why he'd be putting in that sort of an ad. Well, I couldn't answer that because I didn't know of any reason for such an ad.
But you did feel that he's the man who came here as Mr. Smith.
Oh, sure enough.
Very well. Thank you, Gail.
Now, you just hold your horses. Don't brush me off like that. Why would Mr. Smith or Mr. Graves run that ad?
I don't know.
Well, I'm going to find out.
You take that up with Oxford, Gail. He has a deductive brain.
That's his own appraisal.
Well, you learn more about Mr. Graves.
I'm trying to, but, well, you just simply won't talk.
I can't talk because I don't know. Now, you go ahead and show me how good a reporter you can be.
But I've already traced your Mr. Smith to Mr. Graves. Now, isn't that something?
Elementary, Gail, elementary.
All right, then. We'll see what Michael Oxford can turn up.
Yes?
Mr. Reed?
Speaking.
You inquired about a certain envelope of photographs?
Oh, yes. What about it?
It was received in this morning's mail.
What?
That's right. But it's not for publication.
I understand.
This is one time the Green Hornet didn't get what he was after. He's killed Jack Mercer for nothing.
Thank you. Well, that does it. Now the Green Hornet must really act. Cato, I spent the whole afternoon making sure that Mr. Jackson really had the envelope of marked photographs.
He does have them?
Yes. The authorities think Jack Mercer mailed them before he was shot. But I know differently.
Yes, sir.
I know that Mercer marked those photos to show where planes could be landed and then telephoned me. He was not going to leave the house until I joined him. The man who murdered him mailed the pictures.
But why did he?
Well, if the pictures were stolen, the authorities would find new points in enemy country to set planes down. They know that the places Mercer selected would be guarded. But as it is, our planes will be landed where Mercer indicated and they'll be trapped there.
I see.
The enemy has seen the pictures, probably copied them.
And you cannot tell authorities of this?
No, not without revealing myself as the one who left the mark of the Green Hornet at the scene of the murder. There's just one thing to do, Cato. And the Green Hornet has to do it. Is everything ready for action tonight?
Yes, sir.
And I'll telephone Mr. Jackson.
He has pictures now?
At his home. Cato, I'm going to make an appointment to meet him at my office.
Tonight?
Right away. And while he's there, you'll have to go to his home. The odds are against us tonight. And if we fail, it's the electric chair for the Green Hornet.
Britt Reed going to do to prevent the capture of untold numbers of heavy planes when America starts the offensive drive into enemy country? We'll hear in just a moment. But first, a message from your government to young women who will soon be graduated from high schools and universities throughout America. Would you like to help win the war? If so, you are urged to consider entering one of the most respected of professions, nursing. Thousands of registered nurses have joined the armed forces of the United States. Thousands of student nurses are needed to replace them. If there's a school of nursing near you, it can supply you with information. If there's none in your neighborhood, apply at the nearest office of the United States Employment Service or write the State Nurses Association. Enroll now as a student nurse. Not only will you be doing your part to help win the war, you will be learning a profession which will enable you to serve humanity throughout your lifetime. Now to continue our story. It's evening. Britt Reed is in the large lobby of the Sentinel building with a man named Jackson.
I didn't know whether the information would be of any value to you, Mr. Jackson.
It might be, Reed.
It seemed like more than coincidence. The name Johann Kinder translates to John Child. And there was a murderer, or at least a suspected murderer, named Child.
I'll have the file of clippings you gave me on Child's gone over.
Very well.
As you say, there might be something to it. There's a strange coincidence in the fact that the murder took place on the night this fellow Kinder was to call Mother. But can I take you home?
My car's just around the corner.
No.
Oh, by the way, Jackson, I'm not at all certain that Mr. Pemberton Q. Graves is the man who inserted that ad.
We'll have Mr. Graves watched and see if we can't get a line on Jack or John Charles.
The murder of Jack Mercer hit me hard. I want his murderer captured.
We all do. This Green Hornet...
Maybe John Charles is the Green Hornet.
Oh, Reed, I have doubts about that. Well, thanks again, Reed. We were lucky that Mercer's work wasn't stolen.
Jackson... Are you sure the murderer didn't see it?
Well, how could he? Mercer mailed it before he was killed.
But you're not sure.
Well, the Hornet wanted those pictures. If they'd been anywhere else but in the mail, he'd have had them. Good night, Reed.
Good night.
Driving his convertible, Britt hurried to his apartment. He dashed to his bedroom and then stepped through a panel hidden in a closet. A narrow passage built within the wall of the apartment house itself led down creaky stairs, connected with a building on an adjacent side street. The building was run down, windows boarded up. No one could guess that behind those walls was the hiding place of the Black Beauty, streamlined car of the Green Hornet. Cato was already in the car.
Mask, Cato.
Here.
Move over. I'll drive now.
Yes, Mr. Britt.
Did you get to Jackson's place?
Yes, sir. And let Sticker, as you say.
Good. Now to get there before Jackson does.
The headlights flicked on. A photoelectric cell intercepted the beam and started a small electric motor. As the great car rolled forward, a section of solid wall swiveled silently up. The car rolled through, turned into the street. Behind it, the wall settled into place. The Green Hornet was in action. Jackson reached his home and went directly to his library. He turned on the lights and moved to his desk to study the material Britt Reed had given him. Then he stared at the top of the desk with a look of shocked surprise.
The mark of the Green Hornet. Been here while I was out. Wonder if you found the place where I had the envelope concealed.
Oh, go ahead, Jackson. Open the panel in the wall.
Face to face with the Green Hornet.
I'm surprised that you fell for that old trick.
Stupid of me. I suddenly remembered that it would be like you to leave your seal here. To make me think you'd already gotten what you came for.
You didn't remember quite soon enough. You'd already reached for that panel to see if the envelope was gone.
I realize that.
Jackson, in your position, you can recommend that the Mercer plans be followed or discarded.
Well, obviously, they'll be discarded if you steal them.
Open that panel.
If I don't?
I'll gas you and open it myself.
Of course. There it is.
I'll take the photographs.
They'll be worthless to you.
Oh, you're wrong. They'll be worth a lot to me. They'll clear me of a murder.
What?
Jackson, the morning edition of the papers will be on the street in 2 hours. News of this robbery by the Green Hornet can make those papers. We'll also make the radio newscast this evening.
Surely you're not doing this for the publicity.
I've got to use the publicity. And if you're as keen as I think you are, you'll use it to greater advantage than I.
I don't follow you.
I'm going to remove the marks Jack Mercer made on those aerial photos and make marks of my own. I'm going to talk to you for just 3 minutes, and then you can report this robbery to the police. Here's an address. Take it. The man's name is Kinder.
Sovereign snakes! The Hornet has struck again. He stole confidential plans from Jackson's home.
Patent Extra, paper! Green Hornet strikes again! Sensational robbery! Hornet robbed official! Read all about it!
This is your Sentinel reporter coming on the air. Tonight, the Green Hornet struck again. Once more, it's the secret.
Wasting his time. What can the Green Hornet hope to accomplish by a robbery of this sort? Read it, Snyder.
I heard it on the radio a few minutes ago. Graves, I do not like it.
What difference can it make?
Graves, you are a fool. An utter fool. And for one with a fiction writer's imagination, I'm surprised.
Well.
Now the plans are stolen. Jackson knows they're stolen.
True, but...
So, do you think those plans will remain unchanged? Of course they won't. All our work is gone for...
What's this?
Good evening.
You, that mask.
The Hornet. The Green Hornet.
And you would have come, didn't I? Here, Graves, there's something I brought for you. Open that envelope and look the contents over.
I know what's inside.
Open it.
You were active last night.
Yes. I've been taking the blame for a murder. I don't mind that if I'm paid for it.
Pay?
I think I've proved that I can deliver the goods. And when you deal with me, you get what you pay for, and not something phony.
Something phony?
You birds give me a pain. You think all you gotta do is line up some cheap underworld hood and pay for what you want. Don't you realize that there's no way to be sure you've got the real thing until it's too late?
Ah, Snyder. What's the matter, Graves?
Look here. What came from Jackson's home? Then look what we bought and paid good money for.
What is the matter?
Matter enough.
Talk it over and we'll meet again. Next time I call, you might have an interesting proposition for me.
Wait!
I'll see you again, Graves.
Stop a moment. I want to talk.
I was right at the window. It's gone.
But you'll come back. Now I see what has been done.
That cheap crook, that double-crossing rat, he swindled us. 5,000 we paid him for nothing but pictures he sketched to suit himself.
In no vase like the real ones.
And already we put the pictures he gave us into the hands that would deliver them home. And he's learned what a blunder we made.
Come. He'll deal with him.
In the only way. Heil Hitler.
Heil Hitler. But first we will get back the money we paid. Come, Graves. A car is outside.
Who is it?
Open the door, child.
Oh, you. What's up, Graves?
Stand back, you rat.
What's the idea of the rod?
You will learn.
Crossing rat.
Oh, your big lord.
Stand still. Where's our money?
What's the idea of busting in here with a gat like this?
You know the idea. We've learned the truth.
You sold us plans which were worthless.
You're crazy.
The Hornet killed Mercer. This is the paper said.
What
the... Hornet killed him. You tried to make us think you had been there.
I tell you our words. The Hornet got rid of the suicide note I left.
You never even saw the original plans. You made sketches from your imagination.
That's a lie.
It is you who lies. There's the money we gave you.
If you think I'm going to give it back, you...
You do so now.
Now look here, Graves. Be sensible about it. The Hornet got there after I did. I don't know how he knew about Mercer. He took the suicide note to make it look as if he'd done the job. I gave you the real plans. I swear I did.
Liar, crook.
I did, I tell you. I'm giving it to you straight. It's a hornet that's doubling on you. He's trying to steal my stuff. He's trying to put me in bed with you.
Oh, the kill, Mercer.
He didn't. I tell you, he didn't. I got the real plans. The hornets are the phonies. I got you the real ones, and I killed Jack Mercer.
Thanks.
Right. Right. Shoot, shoot. Kill him.
Oh,
shoot.
I'll get him.
No.
Oh, no, don't shoot.
That's us at five. Line up there, the three of you.
Wait, it's a mistake.
No mistake. We heard all of us said.
Oh.
We heard your convincing story that you murdered Jack Mercer. We heard that these two paid you for it. That's enough.
It's the Green Hornet. He's a guy. Oh, you two fatheads, you thick-skulled saps. You fell for the hornet's trap. You took the bait, hook, line, and sinker.
You're not yet beaten.
No, well, we'll see about that.
Hey, Jackson, there's a car outside. It looks like that one we heard about. There it is. Hear it?
The Green Hornet. Boys, I'm sorry the truth can't be told.
Why can't it?
Well, the less said, the better. We've captured two men at the Gestapo, Snyder and Graves. Graves has relatives in concentration camps. He was forced to obey Snyder's orders by threats of death to his relatives. But we're going to let the plans go back to Europe. Let our enemy think they know where our big planes will land. We'll change our plans accordingly.
I see.
For obvious reasons, it must not be known that Graves and Snyder are captured. Men will take their places. Men who are on our side. Who'll gather vital information on other spies.
But that means that the Green Hornet...
Yes, gentlemen. It means that I'm relying upon you leading men of the press to cooperate. It means that the Green Hornet will have to take the blame for the murder of Jack Mercer and the robbery of the plans of my home. I'm sorry, but that's the way it's got to be.
Mr. Jackson.
Yes, Mr. Reed?
The Hornet's been blamed for so many things. I don't think you'll mind being blamed for one or two more.
No, I don't think you'll mind. You know, sometimes I wonder about those other, shall I say, crimes of his.
To murder! Read all about it! Green Hornet still at large! Sentinel X Street, paper!
America needs young people in this war. If you are 16 or over, you can help grow the nation's food or work in a war production plant. Or get free training that will fit you to help in building planes and ships and guns for the Army and Navy. Learn where and how you can best serve your country at your local United States Employment Office. Learn about free training courses, about summer farm jobs for both boys and girls. Register now at the nearest field office of the United States Employment Service. You have just heard the adventure Invasion Plans for Victory. These exciting dramas are sent to you each Saturday at this same time. They are copyrighted features of the Green Hornet Incorporated. All characters, names, places, and incidents used in this drama are purely fictitious. This program has come to you from the studios of WXYZ in Detroit. This is the Blue Network.
Well, I have to say goodbye for this week, but I'll be back next week with another 90 minutes or so.